You can turn in your Bibles once again to the book of John as we return to our studies, our exposition of the book of John, John chapter 8, and this morning verse 41b, actually, the second part of verse 41 through verse 47. Building up, ever building up. I hope that is what you're seeing in chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. It's moving forward, it's building up to a climax. And that climax will be very evident to us as in a few weeks from now, we reach the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We will see that climax, and I know that even now, as I say that, you're casting your eyes to the end of chapter 8, and that's fine. Go ahead, do so. And you will see there, but hopefully you will see already and have been seeing through the past weeks as we've been going through John 8 and this discussion, this debate back and forth between Jesus and the religious rulers in Jerusalem. As this debate, as this discussion continues over the past number of weeks and continues over the next few weeks, that we're seeing it moving towards a climax and moving towards that as these religious rulers continually offer up claims to Jesus, but their claims are, note, getting bolder and bolder. And note also, as their claims are getting bolder and bolder, Jesus' refuting of those claims are getting stronger and stronger. And thus it is building to a climax. We won't see that climax this week, but I do want you to see it building. For once again, this week, we see a bolder claim coming from these religious rulers, religious leaders. The last time, 2 weeks ago, for the Millers were with us last week, the last time, 2 weeks ago, as we met in the Gospel of John, we noted those religious rulers had laid claim to being children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. And we walked through what that meant to be a true child of Abraham. But where we are getting that from is Jesus refuting of that claim, that they were not truly children of Abraham. And they were not so, note in verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Jesus refuted that claim in verse 39. And so now this week, in our text this week, the religious rulers, I'm using my sanctified imagination, if you will, here, they, as it were, regroup, they huddle together almost, and now they come back with another claim. A bolder claim still, as I say, in our text this morning, in the second part of verse 41, where they now claim not to be the children of Abraham, but the children of God. They claim to have God as their one true Father. But actually, of course, they say more than that in the second part of verse 41. They actually say, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now that first part of the statement we're not going to spend much time on. I will simply note with you that that is probably a sarcastic, wrongful, and erroneous, indeed blasphemous accusation that they are making there and attempting to lay at the feet of Jesus because of the events surrounding his virgin birth. And it is likely, therefore, a sarcastic and blasphemous accusation that they are laying there. But what I do want you to note is the latter part of what they say there and this bolder claim that they issue forth. We have one Father, God. For what Jesus is going to do in the remainder of our text this morning is refute that claim also. Refute that claim, and as he does so, he is going to move us along and build up to some teachings regarding a very important topic for us this morning, and that is truth and lies, lies and truth. And thus the title that I've given to my message, Lies from Satan, Lies from the Devil, Lies from the Evil One, but Truth from Christ. So let's launch into it together this morning. Let's take a look at Jesus refuting it. Let's take a look also, and most importantly, at truth and lies. Lies from Satan, truth from Christ. So as I say, as we launch into it, and as we move on to Jesus' response in verse 42, we find that indeed Jesus does refute this claim. He refutes it in verses 42 and 43 to begin with. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth from God and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. The beginning of his refuting comes there in verse 42 and verse 43. Last week, remember, or 2 weeks ago actually, remember, in the previous text, he refuted their being the children of Abraham by saying, if you were the children of Abraham, then you would do the deeds of Abraham. Verse 39. And now this week, even so, he refutes their claim to having God as their father. He refutes it in a similar manner. If God were your father, you would love me, he says there. You would love me. Notice the parallel, by the way, between those two refutings that Jesus offers forth. The first one, once again, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the deeds of Abraham. Notice how that refuting in verse 39 is paralleled by this week's refuting in verse 41. If you were God's children, or more literally, if God were your father, then you would love me. Notice the parallel there between those two refutings. They are done in a similar manner. And this week, once again, if God were your father, you would love me. So, and now we reach the first point this morning, a very important point that we're going to spend a little bit of time on this morning. What Jesus is saying there is, in order to know God, in order to love God, in order to know God or love God, one needs to love Christ. Or to put it more succinctly, here's the point. To love God is to love Christ. To love God is to love Christ. And then Jesus continues on and elaborates on that point, as we will now. Jesus continues on and he elaborates on what it means to love him, to love himself, to love Christ. If God were your father, you would love me. And then he continues on, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Notice a few things there. Once again, to love God is to love Christ. But further than that, as Jesus elaborates on it, to love Christ is to love him in this way. To love him as the one who proceedeth forth and came from God, who was sent by God, who did not come in his own authority, but was sent with God's authority, coming from God, sent by God, and he proceeded forth from God. To love Christ is to love him as that one. Furthermore, to love Christ is not only to love him as the one who proceeds from God the Father, who is sent by God the Father, who comes with the authority of God the Father, who comes to accomplish a mission set forth by God the Father. But he also says here, as he elaborates, to love Christ is to know and receive and love his words also. And that is not how they loved him. Indeed, they didn't love him at all, but they rejected Christ. And therefore, God is not their father, is Jesus' argument here. So to love God is to love Christ. And to love Christ is to love Him as that one sent by the Father to accomplish that mission. And to receive His Word is to love Christ. That's the point that Jesus is making here. But before we go on from that, I see a number of possible applications and implications of this point. I'm just going to mention two briefly, hopefully briefly this morning. Two applications before moving on. First of all, you often will hear this in this day and age. It is often said out there, certainly, that all religions are basically the same. They all differ only in sort of peripheral matters. At the heart, all religions, we sometimes hear, all religions are the same. They only differ in incidental peripheral matters. No, not so, not true. I only speak forth for Christianity here, but it is certainly not true of Christianity. For the Christian faith is not like any other religion. For any other religion to be the same as Christianity, what we are understanding this morning, and here's the first application of that. For any other religion to be the same as Christianity, they must love Christ. But also, they must love Christ in this way. They must love Christ as the one who proceeds from the Father, who is sent by the Father. They must understand and believe in Him and love Him as the Son of God, as one sent on a mission by the Father, sent on a mission to accomplish salvation, sent on a mission to accomplish salvation by dying a substitutionary, atoning death on the cross of Calvary. For that is done in accordance with the eternal purposes of God the Father. That is the mission that He sets out forth the Son. They must know Him, they must believe in Him, they must love Him in that way. That furthermore, that He was raised on the third day, conquering death, conquering the grave. They must love Him and know Him and understand Him in that way. They must know Him and love Him and understand Him in this way, that He ascended back to the Father. And He is now seated at the right hand of the Father as Lord of all. Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord, is the declaration of the early church and is still our declaration today. Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And if they don't agree with all of that, then they are most definitely not the same. Other religions, other faiths may see Christ as a prophet, may see Christ as a teacher, even a great teacher. And so He was a prophet. And so He was a teacher, a great teacher. But if they don't note Him, if they don't love Him, if they don't receive Him as Lord of all, as Lord of all, then they are not in agreement. And furthermore, they are tragically and eternally mistaken. That's the first application of this first truth this morning, this first point. The second application is related, but a little bit more general. For this idea, this truth that Jesus is declaring here, to know God is to love Christ. What Jesus has said here can be applied more generally to unbelievers in general. And to do this, let me just refer to a friend of mine, a wonderful Christian friend of mine from years ago. This individual was saved actually as an adult, as a person of about 30 years or so of age, I think he was when he came to Christ, something like that. And as he told his testimony following that, he talked about the days before he came to Christ. And he said something interesting that really stuck with me. That he said, before I came to Christ, I had no problems with God. But it was this guy, Jesus, that I had problems with. Now the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, wonderfully changed his heart. And he came to faith in Christ, and he's a wonderful believer. But that was his testimony. And from that testimony and from what Jesus says here, we need to note and ever proclaim and ever note with our interactions in our proclaiming of the gospel to unbelievers that to acknowledge God is not enough. To acknowledge Christ even in just some way or another is not enough. To love God is to love Christ. And to love Christ is to love Him as the Son of God, as the Savior, as the Lord of all. We continue on. For Jesus then offers up an alternative. He offers up an alternative. For we've noted this even earlier in our studies in John chapter 8. This came about a few weeks ago. That there are only two possibilities. Only two possibilities. Earlier on, let me remind you, in verses 30 through 36, Jesus spoke of those two possibilities using these words. He said, you are either set free by me, or you are enslaved to sin. Only two possibilities. At that time, as we worked through those verses, verses 30 through 36, we noted that the Apostle Paul says something similar using different words. His words are, you are either in Christ or you are in Adam. Only two possibilities. And now this morning, we find the same thing in our text once again. That same point repeated. Using different words. For you either, Jesus makes clear here, you either have God as your father truly, or the devil is your father. Only two possibilities. Only two possibilities. Jesus says there in verse 44, as we continue on, you are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He continues on, actually. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus says here, once again, there are only two possibilities. There is having God truly as your father, or your father is the devil. Two possibilities. And now as we continue on, we really get to the heart of what we want to talk about this morning. The heart of this message. And that is, as I noted at the beginning, truth and lies, lies and truth. Lies from Satan, truth from Christ. We get to that now in these verses, verses 44 through 47. For Jesus now is going to elaborate on the difference between those two possibilities. The difference between having God as your father and having the devil as your father. The difference between loving God and loving Christ and having the devil as our father. For Jesus says here, once again, of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice here that Jesus describes their father, the devil, in two ways. In two ways, and I hope you, like me, find this a little bit interesting. Of all of the things he could say about the devil, of all of the ways he could describe the devil, notice how Jesus describes him here. He simply describes him in two ways, two significant ways. A murderer and a liar. A murderer and a liar. Why these two ways? Why these two ways alone? Why does Jesus choose to describe him in this way? Well, there's probably a lot there that we could talk about, and we won't talk about all of it this morning. Instead, I would simply direct your thoughts to the first time in the scriptures that we encounter the devil, and the first time in human history that humanity encountered the devil. And that is in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, in that account of what we call the fall of Adam and Eve, the fall of mankind into sin. For in that account, and perhaps you're familiar with it, the devil comes to Eve as a serpent. He comes as a serpent and relates his thoughts to Eve. He comes to Eve with one purpose. What is that purpose? That Adam and Eve might die. That they might die. For God has said previously in the chapter before, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Satan comes into the garden as the serpent in order to tempt Eve, in order to tempt them, in order that they die. That's his ultimate purpose there. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. And die they did. Paul in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Truly, the purpose was accomplished. They did die. And what we see here is, yes, that is why Jesus describes him so. The devil is a murderer. He was in the garden. And even now, hear me, even now, Satan sets himself forth in order to pursue your destruction. Mark those words. Satan, even now, is pursuing your destruction, your eternal death, your eternal destruction. Never forget that. Never forget that. Now, of course, as a believer, if you're a believer in Christ here this morning, he will not achieve that end. For you are safe in Christ's hand. And no man, and even Satan, cannot pluck you out of his hand. But the scriptures also make clear, alongside of that, that we are never to take that for granted. That we are never to take that for granted. That is true, that we are ever and eternally safe in Christ's hand. But we are never to take that for granted. And so once again I say, and mark you, that Satan is set and purposing himself in order to achieve your eternal death, your eternal destruction. For that is who he is. He is a murderer and he is a liar. We continue on in Genesis chapter 3. And we note, how is it that Satan did tempt? He tempted in order to pursue the purpose of seeing the death of humanity in that sin. But how did he pursue that purpose? How did he tempt them? He tempted him by lying. Notice what the serpent says to Eve there in Genesis chapter 3. You will not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Did you count the lies? Did you notice the lies, plural there? You will not surely die. Lie. Yes, you will. And yes, they did. For God knows in that day, in other words, what Satan is saying there is, God is telling you this because he's trying to deceive you. He's trying to keep you down from being like him. He's trying to deceive you and keep you in your place. Lie! God is truth. God never deceives. And if you eat of this, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Lie! Instead, you will be transformed from being creatures made in the image of God in order to serve and glorify Him. You will be transformed in that moment. Not to be like God, but rather to be treacherous, rebellious sinners. Rebels set in cosmic mutiny, cosmic treason against their God and Maker. Satan is a liar. He achieves his purposes by lying, and his purpose is your eternal destruction. He lies, for that is who he is. Back here in John chapter 8, as we hasten on this morning, did you notice the words that I read earlier? Did you notice how Jesus expresses this truth? He says the following: "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning," and listen now, "and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and the father of it," the father of lies. Jesus repeats himself over and over here to make a point. He's saying the same thing umpteen different ways, and that point is, who is the evil one? Who is the devil? Who is Satan? He is a liar, and a liar to the core. Lying is who he is. Lying is what he does. Lying was and is how he carries out his work. Lying is his modus operandi, you might say. His way of operating, his way of doing things is by lying. He tells us lies. He lies to us through the world. He lies to us. We are constantly being lied to and told lies through the world, but from Satan. For he is the father of all lies. That is who he is. He lies, for he intends our destruction. Note this. He lies about who God is. He doesn't really love you. Lie. He lies about who we are. You're actually not that bad. In fact, turn to your right, and you're actually better than that person. Lie. He tells us other things about who we are. Other lies about who we are. He tells us lies about life. When you achieve this, when you get this, this will make you truly happy. Lie. Fill in the blank there. Fill in the blank with what it is. For you know the list. Money, prestige, a nice car, a nice house, sex, endless, mindless entertainment. There's a huge one today. You know the list, for he's whispered those lies in your ear. Or maybe one that you are particularly susceptible to. Lies, lies, lies. Lies that come from the pit. And they come at you every day, throughout the day. They come at you in TV commercials. They come at you in videos. They come at you in the internet. They come at you in entertainment. Notice, by the way, and this was very deliberate, notice the number of visual things that I mentioned there by which lies come at you, because that is huge today. This is huge today, and I think we all recognize this, and we all need to recognize that Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church is not exempt from hearing and even, can I say it, gobbling up such lies. That you, that I need to hear this. It comes to us in the news. It comes to us in politics. It comes to us in elections. Now, as soon as I say that, and I said that deliberately for this reason, as soon as I said that, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, there's a lot of lies that come from that news source, but I listen to this news source. Or there's a lot of lies that come from that end of the political spectrum, but I'm of this end of the political spectrum. That's not what I'm talking about. That may or may not be true, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the overarching lie that somehow, and that we can be in danger of buying into that lie, that it is through political means, that it is through political structures and political forms and political systems and earthly means that we will see the solution to all our woes. that we will see God's righteousness, that we will see the kingdom ushered in through those earthly means. No, no. Lies, lies, lies. It can even come to us from seemingly Christian sources. Even Christian sources that claim to be proclaiming the gospel. But it's a false gospel. It's the prosperity gospel. It's the gospel of easy believism. It's this gospel, that gospel. It's a false gospel. Lies, lies, lies. Everywhere and continually. Why is that? Because Satan is the father of all lies. And he is a murderer. He's a murderer set on your destruction. And he's seeking to achieve that end by telling you lies, lies, lies. But remember, there are two possibilities. And as we continue on here, and as we see this possibility of the devil as our father, we are reminded by Christ here that there is another possibility. There is not only the lies of Satan, but there is truth from Christ. There is truth from Christ. Truth about who God is. Truth about who you are. Truth about life. Truth about eternity. Truth, 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 truth. And the amazing thing, the wonderful thing, is the more we absorb and dive into that truth, the more we recognize out there, lies, lies, lies are coming at us. In conclusion, nobody loves a lie. Nobody loves a lie. Perhaps you've experienced that. Perhaps you've experienced a scenario where you've been lied to and discovered it later on. Perhaps, most simply, it was a product that you bought, maybe on the internet. It was a product that was supposed to do this or that, and it does neither one. It just doesn't work. You were lied to. It doesn't work. It was a waste of money. You've been lied to, and when you realize that lie, it's not a pleasant feeling. But maybe it was worse than that. Maybe it was a business venture. Maybe it was an investment, a particular situation that you learned of or told of, whereby you were to receive an enormous return on your investment. But in the end, it was a lie and you lost all your money. You'd been lied to. And when you realized that lie, it was not a pleasant feeling. Or maybe worse still. Maybe worse still, maybe it was a relationship. Maybe you had invested a great deal in a particular relationship, but in the end you found that person was not what you thought, not whom you thought they were. You'd been lied to. And when you realized that lie, it was definitely not a pleasant feeling. We've all known situations like that. In others, and perhaps we've experienced situations like that ourselves. You've been lied to, and when you discover the lie, it's not a pleasant feeling. But now, finally, and in conclusion, we ratchet it up infinitely. Now, you reach the end of life. You enter into eternity, and there you discover you've been lied to. Not only have you been lied to, but you bought the lie. You even started telling the lie to yourself day after day after day. You repeated the lie. A lie about who God is. A lie about who you are. A lie about life. A lie about eternity. You bought the lie. But a lie it was. And more than an unpleasant feeling, that is eternally tragic. Jesus says elsewhere, and in conclusion, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, as they inevitably will. And it fell. And great was its fall. Let's pray. Gracious Father, my prayer for myself, my prayer for each one of my brothers and sisters here this morning, my prayer for each one listening in whatever format, my prayer for the unbeliever also, and especially listening in, is that none would believe the lies, but rather we would be like the wise man building our house, even now building that house on rock, solid rock. May it be so, Father. And may we, as a result, be safe and secure in your hand when the storms come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.